Hey, welcome everybody. Today you are listening to Pop Sub, which is with myself, Christopher Furman, and my compadre, James Fryer. And we're just here to kind of talk about what's new this week in entertainment and media, but not necessarily. This week, we're going to talk about a show we've seen that caught our eye.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, James. Glad to be here again today with you. I always enjoy these Zoom meetings. It's not as fun as hanging out and having coffee like we do on Heatstroke, but it is fun just to chat.
Well, it's a little bit more relaxed because, you know, I don't have to wear pants. I could wear a skirt.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
Right.
Or even a kilt.
Yeah. So today we have something that is a little bit different from what we normally talk about. Yes?
Well, we're talking about a TV show, right? I don't remember which one it was, though. Which one were we going to talk about today?
Well, they're singing.
Oh, no, I haven't seen any shows.
And it takes place in a state you're from.
Born in New York? I was actually born in Manhattan.
Oh, well, then you're really close.
So it gets worse.
Yeah.
I don't remember watching any shows without singing. No.
Well,
what are you talking about?
Have you watched any shows that looks like Bob's Burger?
I don't know what you're talking about, Christopher. Just tell me what we're talking about.
Today we are talking about Central Park.
No, I have no recollection of that show.
I can see why. It's not the most memorable show.
Wait a second. You said singing, Central Park, and it's animated?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no. I'm starting to get some remembrances. I'm okay, though. I'll be fine. There's no PTSD here.
Hopefully we can save our audience from some trauma. So I want to tell you how I found the show.
Yes, please do.
So I'm going through the Apple catalog, which is scarce, and I'm trying to see what other shows they have, because so far I'm liking all their shows. I'm flicking through the catalog because it's very limited, and I go, okay.
Hang on.
Yeah.
It's not that limited, right? It's like only in comparison.
Yes,
like
that's
true. When we were growing up and we had regular over-the-air TV, we had, what, 5 channels? And then we had, like, basic TV, which was 20 channels,
you're absolutely
which
seemed
like
right.
So much. And then 20 channels was like, oh, that's the entire world. And then we had 500 channels. But the 500 channels is completely useless. You can't watch any of that stuff. It just makes it harder to choose. So 20 channels is actually better than 500. And it's actually better. It's like, it's one of the things that makes Apple TV good. There's less to choose from, so you don't have to spend around, screw around and figuring out what to watch as much.
Well, that's true.
Sorry.
So I'm like, well, I'm looking at the graphic or the card that they're using to show for this choice in the catalog. And I recognize the art right away. It's the same style of animation that Bob Burger has. And I'm listening. So I'm looking at it. I'm like, well, I'm going to try this. This looks great. And it starts off with this crazy, like, guy talking about a violin and how he's going to be in Central Park. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And then the next thing I know, there is singing going on. And I'm so excited because now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is almost like a musical. And not that I love musicals, but I do enjoy musicals from time to time, especially good ones. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. And it's got my favorite cheesy art animation with this cool style of music. They combine it together. And I just wanted to put it in a glass box and save it.
Is that what you do with things you like?
Well,
I'm glad you don't like me.
After I watched it for a short while, I thought I would put a little hammer by that glass box. And
hammer?
Yes.
And I would put a trolley by it so I could roll it out to the curb.
And say, in the case of an apocalypse and there's zero entertainment left in the world, break this box and see what's inside. Because that's how I felt about it.
Nope.
It was so
If there was an apocalypse and I saw this box, you know, break when apocalypse and watch this, and I watched that, I would kill myself.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, the world's over. And this is all I have left. I can't handle this. I'm done. It's over.
And the writing, I thought, was interesting, but not clever. The concept was clever, but the storyline and the dialogue could not have been a bigger flop, in my opinion.
Yeah, the writing was terrible. I mean, I guess this is the main point I'm going to make about the show is I was cringing over and over again at the not only the dialogue, but also some of the lyrics.
Not the cringing, like you feel awkward because it's the actor's being interesting or the character's interesting and he's creating this tension. No, it's cringing because you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe someone actually got this published and is writing about
it. I really started to have, there were so many cringe moments. I had never really examined the emotional response of cringing. I still don't really understand. I don't understand what makes me cringe. I don't understand the cringing process, but I'm a lot more sensitive to it now because I did so much of it, right?
From watching the show. Yeah. Knew that.
It's like laughter. You can't control it. I guess it's the anti-laughter.
I wanted to laugh. I wanted to laugh so bad, but I could not find moments in the show to laugh.
Christopher, why did we watch this show? Whose idea was
this? I'm so sorry. It was my fault. Well, it all started with wanting to investigate Apple TV Plus, or what's it? Oh, no. Apple Plus.
Apple TV Plus.
There you go.
Apple TV Plus.
Thank you so much. And then, you know, had some really interesting shows. A great show we've already talked about. Ted Lasso, Mythic Quest was pretty good. And so I'm getting excited about this new show, and I just cannot find anything. But as far as the talent they got, other than the writing, amazing. Great vocals, great singing, great harmonies. It was obvious they got some very nice talent for this show.
I would agree with the talent they chose.
Yes.
As far as the talent themselves, as being good, talented people. And part of that is, you know, I have very bad musical inclinations. But as far as I could tell, they were all singing really well. But I guess the impressive part was with all these cringe-worthy or cringe-inducing lyrics and dialogue, the actors were able to actually get these lines out. And that's really impressive when you think about it. I mean, I can imagine that it's really hard if you have a piece of dialogue that makes no sense and is really dumb, that it makes it a lot harder to say. That would be
I was kind of disappointed because this is a Fox-type show, and Fox, whether it's crude humor or rude humor or family friendly or whatever kind of humor you like or dislike, it was at least comical for that genre, whatever it happened to choose. But I cannot, it definitely does not fall into music comedy or musical comedy anyways.
It definitely is musical. It tries to be musical comedy, but it fails. Right off the bat, the drawing style kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Because nobody has any chins. And obviously in cartoons, and I watch, I guess, a lot of cartoons, like Futurama and The Simpsons and stuff, you know, it's pretty broad. Archer, love Archer. But these characters just don't like the style. I think the style is bad. I mean, you know,
they're trying to be jokey and it's clumpy.
I get that. Because like I said, that's it. I get that they're trying to be jokey, but it just seems like they missed the mark. Seems like bad drawing. It's not bad drawing. It's like they're drawing exactly what they want to draw, but whether what they want, it's bad design. That's what it is. It's bad, poorly designed characters. The talent was great, but I thought that they just were badly used. I think the casting, they got, like I said, great talent, but the casting was terrible in that they paired the voices with the characters. Didn't make sense. I'm hearing the voices and seeing the cartoon characters and they're just not jiving. Like the son is the main character. I can't mesh that character's voice with the character's appearance. It just, every time I see it half the characters are like that. Half the characters I'm hearing and I'm seeing, but there's just no meshing.
You're right. So I hear what you're saying. So the casting for this, or at least the voices that they chose from those artists, you're right. They don't quite match. And the whole thing with using boy voices for old ladies and old ladies for boy voices, I get that whole thing. But in this case, it just didn't work. And they even had, so I tried to watch as many of the shows as possible. I kept falling asleep, to be honest with you. and that's not me. That's not me trying to be funny. No, I literally fell asleep. Every episode I tried to get through, I could not keep my eyes open. And they had a few guest stars on there, and even the guest stars vocals were good, but it didn't, it still didn't seem to, it was bad casting or bad voice casting. I don't know where the fell apart, but it was,
right.
It was not there.
This is one of the interesting things I think about Pixar. Pixar obviously is the kingmaker, not the kingmaker, but they are the gold standard for animation. They basically rebirthed the industry with their 3D animation when they came out with Toy Story. And I think one of the things that may be overlooked by a lot of people is just how insanely good they are, Pixar.
Yes.
How insanely good Pixar is at voice casting. They always completely nail it.
Yes.
And I think it's more obvious when you start to see the other studios pop up, like DreamWorks and Shrek. Shrek was a good movie, but the voice casting in there just doesn't work as well. It just they always knock it out of the park with Pixar. And what was the one with the lion?
Oh, you're talking about Lion King from Disney.
No, it was, I don't know if it was
DreamWorks. So the movie you're talking about is Madagascar.
That's right. There you go. Yeah. Good. Thank
I've watched
you for
too
reminding.
Many cartoons.
Madagascar was, I think, was a good example of bad casting. Most of them were just really boring. And I think everyone can agree, we all love the
ringtail.
We love the secondary characters.
Yeah, the lemurs.
Right. The lemurs and the
penguins.
Penguins were the things that everybody loved most. And I think Chris Rock was like a secondary, maybe it was a primary role. I think he was great. And the lemurs and the penguins were great too. But like the lead cast, was it Schwimmer? Was one of the other voice actors?
Yeah.
Just totally bland.
Well,
I'm
sorry.
The okay,
thing
okay.
with the characters and those animation movies that you just brought up, they may not have done the best job of casting, but the storyline was there. The songs that were fitted in there aided the storyline, moved the storyline forward. The songs here, you have to wait till they're done before the story moves forward.
Yeah.
The storyline here is basically someone's trying to tear down Central Park.
But, well, they're trying to buy
it. And they're trying to make fun of kind of big business, but they've chosen old lady to represent big business. And I'm just like, I don't see that either. I don't get any
That's
of
that. Weird. I didn't see that. I guess that was the part. I don't know if I was just so beaten down by the show by that point or what, but I didn't really see any inconsistency with that. She seemed like an evil old queen, like Cruella de Vil from 101.
I wish they would have modeled it after her, because then it might have been decent.
Yeah, we've done a lot of tearing down. Well, actually, the basic story, I think, is understandable, and you know, it's there. It's under this corpse of a performance and writing and whatnot. But it's there. I can understand it. The other thing that bothered me, story wise, though, is that it's just so filled with tropes, just tiresome, annoying tropes. Like the girl's first kiss. It's like it could literally have not gone worse. And that actually bothered me a little bit, because they were joking about PTSD. And I guess, you know, you can joke about anything, but if it doesn't land, you got to make sure that if you're talking about sensitive material, you land the joke. And if you're not landing the joke, you know, be careful about what you're talking about.
So a little history on this. But, Central Park actually premiered May 29th, you know, so basically at the beginning of last summer on Apple TV Plus. And they have a new release on Fridays. And I'll be really surprised if this goes to a second season. If it does go to a second season, what it says to me is Apple is trying so hard to get into this family-friendly world. They're willing to post mediocre to bad stuff to try to accomplish this musical mashup. I don't know what to say about it.
Well, I don't know. I think it hits some PC buttons on this show, so I think there are going to be people who like it or want. I think there may be a desire to want to.
Yeah,
like this
I
show.
Wanted to like the show, like I said at the beginning. I like to see the arts thrive, and I thought this is a great opportunity for America, if not the world, but definitely America to be re-exposed to Broadway singing and clever Broadway contraptions for a musical. But I felt like after watching, I'm like, okay, so now nobody's going to like musicals. It did the exact opposite of what I was hoping for.
I don't hold this against musicals. I'm sure like any genre, there are, you know, stinkers and there are some gems, and I'm not going to hold this against, I'm not a huge musical fan to begin with, but I, you know, like I said, I'm not going to hold it. This is so far outside of the realm of normality that I don't count it. But some things I did like. Now, let's try to be positive.
Nice.
Okay, the narrator. I found him to be a little bit cute-ish, yeah. You know, just his character, and he was kind of bubbly, and he was fine. The backgrounds for the cartoons, even though I really dislike the character drawings, the backgrounds were pretty beautiful. Now, this is kind of easy, though, because they reuse the same backgrounds over and over again. So it's like once you've done the work, it's easy. Not so bad. And one of the songs, believe it or not, I actually did pretty much like. There was the daughter has a song, I think that's titled something along the lines of Weirdos Unite. And I thought that was pretty good.
Well,
just to say
a little couple thing about the characters there. Usually with a story, they do enough at the beginning so you start to feel for the character. Like you're either angry at that character or you find some kind of way to relate to the character. They didn't even really do that in the beginning, first or even second episode, really give you the opportunity to fall in love with these characters. They just kind of threw them in your face. And so I didn't see any of that.
I think the problem there may have just been they were trying to throw the entire cast yes. at you at once.
It's a big cast.
And it's a big cast. It's like, I don't even know. You know, usually I try to do a little bit more work for these podcasts when we talk about the shows, a little bit of background. And I couldn't finish the series. I just couldn't get through it. I think I watched 7 or 8 of them. And it just,
but you also had said.
So I don't remember her name, but there's the maid to the main villain, you know, Bitsy's maid. They start to hint at what her backstory is and what her story is, but it's too much. It's just one little drop in a sea of other subplots. There are too many subplots going on.
There are a lot, way too many, at least in the beginning, there are way too many subplots. You're absolutely right. And the thing is that they have this whole, this is where I thought they were trying to be cool guy, cool family, with the mixed race family in a cartoon atmosphere, which we really haven't seen. So I thought that was kind of cool and very interesting, but they didn't really work that into the storyline, or I don't know. Maybe they just want to say, this is how it is. No big deal. And we're just going to move forward with the story.
Trying to make it look so normal.
Yeah. And it is in New York.
But anyway, so the cringeworthy part of the narration, though, and the lyrics gets amplified when they have the dance scenes, because they're singing their songs, they're dancing. And I remember especially that the maid or assistant or butler or whatever you want to call her. Oh my God. There were some where she was dancing like these really kind of disgustingly sexy dances. And it was just so completely out of character. And it was kind of gross. And that held true for a lot of the dance scenes. The dance scenes were just
I
so
almost
cringy.
Feel like if they tweaked this a little bit and kind of backed off and said, look it, we kind of screwed up at the beginning. Let us focus on just one or two characters for the next season. Develop those characters. Maybe it could evolve into a successful show. The potential, I think, is there. And one of the things, like you said, as far as the animation and the backdrops, if you haven't been to New York, I think they did a really fine job of capturing the animation there for that. And so, like I said, or like what you said, with those good starts and good voices, they would just fire the writers, or better yet, the director. James, not that we have any authority, but can we call Apple and see if we can fire the writers?
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. No, you know what? We're not going to call them. They're fired. We'll tweet them out.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to work. So we're going to have to either give them the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Here's my first thumb falling down. Second thumb falling down. That's two thumbs down.
That's pretty funny because we usually we haven't given any thumbs down. We've only given thumbs up in the past. So this is a pretty big.
Yeah, because we went from one up, two up. We didn't even give this a neutral. We just went two thumbs down.
I mean, how can you love the show? The son, one of the main characters, starts off the show by dognapping a dog, someone else's dog. And then later in the show, he's a rat lover. He doesn't want to get rid of the rats because he's constantly trying to stop his mother from catching the rats and throwing them out of their house. This kid is horrible. It's a horrible little kid.
You're not lying.
Sorry.
Okay, so James, that's two thumbs down for me and two thumbs down for you. That's a total of four down thumb. All right, James, this was not so fun this week, but it was good talking to you. So I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, man. I thought hopefully we'll do a little better next week.
Yeah, with something popular and interesting.
Bye.
Bye, James. After our show today, I have a few comments on the Grammys if you want to listen to the end.
Pop Sub Podcast has been brought to you by Marcus in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. To contact Pop Sub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Running fast to a podcast. Is it gonna last with the freaky cast?
Wonder where I'm going.
So I know on our podcast we cover just one subject, but this week was the Grammys, and I have to tell you, I'm sorry, it was terrible. This is an episode of terrible things, just to let everybody know. It wasn't because of scares. It was just, as you often say, it was just dumb. For example, is anybody that was in the audience was obviously a winner because they were not going to invite any losers to the Grammys.
Really?
And then on top of it all, it was so biased to one demographic. And I'm just thinking the whole time, I'm like, this reminds me of I remember the Grammys years ago. And because I try to watch them every year, at least for a few minutes. And there are some great Grammy. Like, wow. I remember the Star Wars years. And they had they were giving all these great shows with Star Wars characters and John Williams music in the background. And then I don't remember which came first. But then I also remember years ago, the Rocky episode where they're playing Rocky music and dun da 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 da. And then this was just all... It was one rap song after another. If it wasn't for Billie Eilish, it would have been basically a urban rap show and catered to nobody else. And I get it. Like the Country Awards kind of took a big chunk of the big pop out, but it was just a big urban show. And I just don't understand how that show's going to last if they keep pandering to a very small demographic. I mean, it was the same music almost the whole time. And the only time we heard any variety is when they introduced the envelope opener.
So back up a second. You mentioned just very quickly the country music or Western. What do they call it now?
Right. So they have the country Western music.
So is that not part of it?
And...
So that's not part of the Grammys?
Well, technically it is. The show that you see on TV is a very small part of the show. The Grammys actually go on for days. And for example, all the small artists will come and go. And like, so the best piano player, the best piano concert, or the best orchestra. I mean, and that's not a huge audience, so they usually don't show it. What in the old days when rock and roll was the king, they'd have a lot of rock, then you'd have pop on top of that. But honestly, they even had blues. I mean, you got to see everybody, but I really feel like it was pretty limited to a small group of people. And like I said, if you're not at the show, you're a loser. It was terrible.
So let me get this straight. So they do have, so Grammys are supposed to be open to all
anything,
music.
Soundtracks,
the best music of the year,
or anything traditionally, and you're saying like in a record player, or a CD.
Was it all rap, or was it just very dominated by rap?
The tail end, which is the part that most people watch, and a big chunk of it, yes, it was all, I want to call it urban music, because not all of it was rap. Rap is slowly getting more bluesish and more artistic all the time, and I respect rap completely, but I don't think it should be, I don't think it represents all of the music in the United States. The largest number of record sales in the United States is country music. And I'm not the huge, I'm not trying to say country music is the best music in this country. I'm just saying is that that is a monstrous market and they didn't touch it. They didn't touch it at all.
Wow. Okay. So country music is just a bigger market.
Worldwide.
And more people are listening to it. No, well, let's talk. Is the Grammys worldwide or is it focused on the U.S. music scene?
So Grammys will award any good music from anywhere in the world if it is...
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's worldwide,
if it is
right.
Listened to in the United States.
Oh, that doesn't really
so
make
like, for example,
sense,
you
okay.
can have an artist from another country come... And for example, is at the Grammys, Ringo Starr was there. And so, you know, back in the day, the Beatles, who were from England, could have and did win 7 Grammys. I think they had 23 nominations.
Huh.
I guess my point is, it's basically anybody in the music industry. I mean, the whole thing, we call it Grammy because the award is a gramophone. But the truth of the matter is, the award is given out by the recording Academy, which you actually have to be a part of to be able to vote or to even be nominated. The whole show didn't seem like it was really focusing on artists, but more it was just a high school popular contest. Just to let you know, being nominated is a war to itself. To be nominated is huge. That is an award. And then to win the nomination is yet another award, you know. In the old days, when I was used to be involved with marching bands, we called it sweepstakes. So that would be the sweepstakes.
So it sounds like your main complaint here is that they're just not being inclusive. They're not actually looking at the bulk of music.
Yeah, and I'm just so afraid. I love the Grammys. I'm just afraid that they're going to be gone someday because no
one wants
to watch.
You know, I wouldn't even notice if they were gone. But then, as you know, if I was running the Grammys, it would be probably pretty bad because I guess I'd still just be giving all the Grammys to Enya.
All right, so let's talk about what we're talking about today.